As we just heard a short moment ago last night on Q&A, Bill Shorten accused the government of waging a birther-like campaign against him, similar to the birther attack levelled against Barack Obama. And he indicated that he will not produce his documentary evidence to show what he said is absolute truth, that he's denounced his dual British citizenship. He also indicated on Q&A that Labor would be willing to work with the government to reform Section 44 of the Constitution, which of course has tripped up seven MPs and senators in recent weeks. Mark Dreyfus is Shadow Attorney General. Mark Dreyfus, good morning.
Good morning, Fran. Thanks for having me.
So Bill Shorten comparing himself, his situation to the way Barack Obama was hounded by the birther movement in the US. In the end, of course, the president produced his birth certificate to silence his critics and prove he was born in the USA. Why doesn't Bill Shorten do the same?
Well, you'll remember that in Barack Obama's case, it didn't silence the critics. We had trolls on the internet still saying that the birth certificate proving his birth in Hawaii was a forgery, and they went on and on with it.
My point is, he did show the document. Should Bill Shorten just show the document and put it to bed?
Not at all. Bill did what Tony Abbott did before he went into the federal parliament. Tony Abbott was born in Britain, he was a British citizen, and he renounced that citizenship. Bill's father was born in Britain, Bill was a British citizen, and he renounced that citizenship, and that's where it ends. I don't hear people screaming for release of documentation about Tony Abbott. And it's really important here that we not have some kind of weird reverse onus where people rake through the more than 20 MPs who were born overseas and the more than 20 MPs who have at least one parent born overseas and say, you've got to prove something when there isn't, in fact, any grounds for saying that there's a problem.
But hang on. We just had the situation a week ago where Barnaby Joyce, who'd said something very akin to what Bill Shorten said last night, which is that, you know, he knows it to be true, basically. He said something very similar to that about his position in terms of New Zealand citizenship. And Labor, it was someone from Labor who did go in and rake over the coals and ferret around in this.
Barnaby Joyce had said on the public record that he had done nothing to renounce his New Zealand citizenship. On the face of it, he was a New Zealand citizen because his father was a New Zealander. It's not dissimilar to Anson Marlis' situation, where there's now documentary evidence on the public record that she has been declared as a British citizen by her father on an arrival card, and it appears she's done nothing to renounce that citizenship. She has a case to answer, just as the six that have already been referred to the High Court and Nick Xenophon, who is to be referred when the Senate next meets, they have cases to answer because either they've admitted that they are foreign citizens or in some other way they've got a matter that needs to be looked at by the court. So Bill Shorten's position is quite different.
I'm still not clear why it is quite different, because he tells us it is different. Is that why?
Well, if someone's got some proposition, perhaps this is me being a former lawyer here, Fran, but I'm looking for people to produce proof. I'm looking for people who says there's a case to answer. Otherwise, we're asking people who've got no case to answer in a reverse onus to produce material. And I say again, why pick out Bill Shorten? Why not pick out each of the more than 20 people who in the parliament who were born overseas? I don't hear people doing that. And I think it's pretty important that we stick to those that have made the error, those that are dual citizens, those that admit that they've got a problem, and look hard at those who, on the face of what's publicly available, appear to be dual citizens, but who've done nothing about it.
Given the impact,
in that category is Anne Sudmala.
And given the impact this is having on the parliament, and it's quite a dramatic impact, and I think perhaps, as the polls would suggest, impact on people's confidence in the parliament, why not have an audit now? I mean, Craig Kelly has come out from the government ranks and the first to say, let's have an audit. Why not have an audit?
At the very least, we should have the High Court look at this. The government is, to my mind, strangely claiming that its various members don't have a problem when, on the face of it, the High Court has interpreted Section 44 very clearly and said, if you are a citizen of a foreign country, then you are in breach of Section 44(1) of the Constitution. And what you have to do in order to bring yourself into eligibility is take reasonable steps to renounce that citizenship. That's what Barnaby Joyce failed to do. It's what Fiona Nash seems to have failed to do. It's what Nick Xenophon seems to have failed to do. And that's, on the current state of the law, means that they will be ruled to be ineligible. The government, weirdly, is saying it's got some other argument. We don't know what that is because the government's not prepared to release the advice of the Solicitor General. They've got form for misrepresenting the advice of the Solicitor General in the past.
Okay.
We're just going to have to wait for the court case.
All right. Just finally on this issue, Bill Shorten said last night that Labor would be open to working with the government to reform Section 44. Are you offering support or calling for a referendum to amend the Constitution? Is this the only way change can occur?
That's not certainly the only way in which Section 44 can be changed. It's a referendum of voting both houses of parliament for a bill to change the constitution, and then a referendum with everyone voting where we need a majority of people in a majority of the states. We know the dismal record of changing the constitution in Australia, and it's a very tall order. I think, as Bill said last night, there's a few other things that would be higher priority, like Indigenous recognition.
So what is he saying then to the government?
Terms.
So what's he saying when he said Labor would be open to working with the government?
We're always open to working with the government on any reform of any part of our system. But for the moment, this is the law of the land. It's the Constitution. And it has to be abided by.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 16 to 8. Our guest is Shadow Attorney General Mark Dreyfus. The campaign for same-sex marriage postal survey has taken a bit of an ugly turn. Offensive material has turned up in Melbourne and Sydney, including a poster at some Melbourne bus stops, which depicts a young boy cowering below two people brandishing rainbow belts and the slogan, "Stop the fags." It also contains some pretty ugly and dishonest claims about children in same-sex marriages. We don't know where these posters have come from. Do you have any idea who's behind these?
No idea whatsoever, but it's clear evidence that we're up in for, if this ridiculous postal survey goes ahead, we're in for a whole range of vile and offensive material that's going to be foisted on us, and the government's responsible for it. The government's decided to do this, and it doesn't have the protections that you might have for an ordinary election.
Can I talk about those protections? Because it's not the only material so far already. There's some material written in English and Chinese delivered to some letterboxes in one Sydney suburb, labelling homosexuality as a curse of death. What are the protections around this postal ballot at the moment? Can you explain those to us?
Exceptionally limited, Fran. Of course, there's existing laws about sending offensive materials through the post. There's some pretty weak advertising standards. There's some a code of conduct that the ABC applies, of course. All of these are pretty ineffective.
What about the rules that normally pertain to elections? Are they going to be in place for this?
No, because the parts of the Electoral Act that deal with conduct during elections are for that purpose, for elections. This is not an election. It's a very strange postal survey, non-compulsory, non-binding postal survey. It's going to need its own special rules, which presently don't exist.
So there's no way to stop something like a poster like that being distributed?
Other than existing offensive behaviour laws, no, and we don't know who it's going to be. If this was governed by electoral law, there'd be an authorisation on it. That'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? Because then we'd know who was responsible.
Okay.
But the government is responsible for creating a situation where people can spread this vile material.
Some Liberal MPs have warned that religious freedoms will be undermined if the definition of marriage is changed. Tony Abbott has been leading that charge, but he's not the only one. Catholic schools too say they want the right to, quote, continue to teach the Catholic view of marriage. Now, presumably that means they want to keep teaching that the only rightful marriage is between a man and a woman. If the law is changed by Parliament, ultimately, would Catholic schools and churches be able to keep teaching that?
Of course they would, and this is another distraction. This postal survey and the whole question of marriage equality is not about religious freedom. The suggestion that somehow the Catholic sacrament of marriage is going to be affected by a change in the civil law of Australia is a nonsense. The Catholic sacrament of marriage will remain unchanged, and Catholic churches, Catholic schools will be free to continue to teach about the Catholic sacrament of marriage and encourage all of the adherents to Catholicism to practice and to observe that Catholic sacrament of marriage.
Okay.
Changing the civil law has nothing at all to do with it, and we're going to continue to see, I expect and I fear, this sort of distraction from opponents of marriage equality.
And just very briefly, Mark Dreyfus, can I get a comment from you on the government's trial? It's selected its first trial site, Canterbury Bankstown in southwestern Sydney, for its first random drug testing trial of welfare recipients. Anyone returning a positive result from a drug like ICE will be forced onto income management. Labor's opposed to this measure, I understand, but probably there's a fair bit of support in the community for a measure like this, given the fears around soaring methamphetamine use in some areas. Will Labor reconsider this?
No. Labor is opposed to this. There is no evidence that this will lead to a reduction in drug use. On the contrary, it's likely to lead to an increase in crime, an increase in poverty, and further harsh treatment of welfare recipients. The government should be looking at things which work, not simply punitive measures, because that's actually all this is.
Mark Dreyfus, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Fran.
Mark Dreyfus is a Shadow Attorney General. It's